lower back can do sometimes. So at any rate, we're continuing our series with the Christmas Together theme that comes from the Christ birthday offering, and titled today, Jesus is the Joy We Need. And so as we celebrate our Christmas together today, we're considering this theme of Christ's birthday observance. And, you know, after this time we've had away from our workplaces or isolated at home or sick, quarantined, even facing the loss of loved ones without the means of properly mourning their death, that with little delay, we still need a season of Christmas together. On the first Sunday of Advent, we spoke of hope, and last week we spoke of love. Today we'll talk about joy, and next Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas, we'll speak of the peace that Jesus brings. Now, this special season of Advent, which is really, that means a season to prepare our hearts for the remembrance of the advent of Jesus Christ, meaning the appearance or the coming of the Messiah of God. And we need to remember some of those themes that are a real part of what Jesus brings to us. So since we have a church business meeting scheduled for the break between services, let's get things started. Now, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that we're living in a world that is confused and divided. I was going to use rocket scientist, but, you know, that's becoming old hat these days. So, you know, brain surgeon, that's a little challenging for us. But, you know, our world is confused and divided. It's by ideas, by ideals, by politics and politicians, by race and battles, by money, by vaccines, by COVID opinions, by social opportunities, by wars, so much more. It is no wonder that depression and suicide and murder are at the highest rates in decades. It's kind of like all the light left the room and took hope, love, joy, and peace with it. The world has turned dark, and we need some light to shine in our darkness. Have you ever experienced true darkness? I wonder if you have, where every source of light is missing. Now, Bobby can tell a story that I'll tell for her. A particular summer night at Camp White Branch, the Church of God campground in the southern Cascade Mountains of Oregon, along the Mackenzie Path, she was there for several weeks as the pool manager for the youth camps. And she loved it, being out in the mountains and in fact, in the forest surrounding her with majestic trees and mountain air and the smells of pine and fir and so much more. She had a little cabin all to herself as an adult female staff member there without other family around. It was separated from the campers' dormitories, away from the highway and away from the driveway, tucked into the trees. Now, one night, she had to get out of bed to use the bathroom. That happens to us, even when we're young. She was used to doing that without turning on a light. There was always some light coming through the window from a safety light, a yard light, a moon, or something, but not this night. Bobby began to get out of bed, and she opened her eyes, and then suddenly noticed she couldn't see anything. Not the door frame, not the bed frame, not the window, not the doorways, nothing. So she put her hand right up to her face and couldn't see it. It was so disorienting that she was afraid something had happened and maybe she was suddenly completely blind. She felt around her bedside table. She found her flashlight. Now, not one of these fancy little LED lights we have around us now. This was 45 years ago. So she grabbed this flashlight that was about the size of Pam's kitchen spray with a light bulb and a reflector and a clear glass lens, powered by two size D batteries. And she pointed it right at her eyes and turned it on with her eyes as wide open as she could get them in the middle of this darkness. Wow, did that ever seem bright? So bright that the retinas of her eyes still had the memory of that light when she closed her eyes at first. She wasn't blind after all, but she needed light in her darkness. A little bit of light can be a source of great joy. The good news is that Bobby was not blind. The world had not ended without warning her it would. It was simple as a power outage because of some work on the supply lines to camp, and the moon was not in the sky. It was cloudy, and it happened to just be no outside light coming in at all. Into her darkness, a light shone, and her fear and confusion turned to clarity and thanksgiving and joy that her eyes were all right, all because she had some light for her darkness. Now, Jesus came into our world as the cure for darkness. And he did it because he is the light of the world. He is the source of our joy, as fear and confusion and division are set aside in favor of his Holy Spirit. Now, we need to remember that joy is more than a little light. Instead, joy is that Jesus, he is God with us, which is good news for a lost and broken world. Have you ever had such an overwhelming sense of happiness and something that you wanted, that you wanted to share it with someone, but they didn't seem to understand why it brought you so much joy? Well, like Bobby discovering she wasn't blind in the darkness of that night, trying to explain that around the camp when nobody else experienced it in the middle of the night. It just wasn't the same to them. Trying to explain the joy of life that is possible without the cell phone that so many people are buried in today. We're just like every other person of history, really, so concerned about our own place in the world that if things don't seem to be right around us, we quickly can lose our hope, lose our joy, and forget to keep loving those around us. And that's happening in our world today. Not quite the experience of joy, because we're so focused on our problems that we forget to look at the solution that God provides. And the good news is that God sees our need. He sees our spiritual need, our emotional need, our social need. He sees everything, but it begins with our spiritual need, for we are blinded because of sin, and he sends the perfect remedy. We read it in John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is good news. The word became flesh. Let's think about what that means. You see, this is Christmas. The word became flesh, the eternal word, the Christ that existed before Jesus was born, and born into the person and the reality of Jesus, our God-man, our man who is holy God as well. The word became flesh, the same word that created the universe, created the heavens, created you, and created me. The word became flesh and lived with us. Lived with us. In the service, you would say boots on the ground. He was here. He got dust between his toes. He walked the same dusty streets, and he went to the same places, and he was amazed by the same great buildings of his day, in Jerusalem especially. He became flesh, he dwelt among us, and we observed his glory. This is John speaking so many decades later. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son, the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That's such an amazing verse, isn't it? As it describes so much about what Christmas is. That's really a perfect Christmas verse if you want only one verse to do it. That's the perfect one. Incarnation means that Jesus became human. It doesn't mean that he kind of hung out with humanity. It doesn't mean that he was sort of just here part of the time. It doesn't mean that he visited, that God showed up once in a while in a ghost or as an angel or anything else. He was born into this world. The word made flesh, the word incarnation means he put meat on. You know, it's as if you take it apart into its base words, he walked with us. He became human, born into a human family, made of blood and bone and skin like you and like me. Now, it's a pretty big jump to go from ruling the universe to being born human, to being born as a human baby. You see, that's what God does. That big jump means that Jesus gave up power in order to be like us. In Philippians 2, 6 to 8, we read, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's why when we put up the cradle for Christmas, there's a cross nearby always. The cradle leads to the cross. Otherwise, the incarnation of the Word of God makes no sense. The Son of God became flesh because he is God's gift to a human world. He gave up power to be like us, and he embraced humanity to become like us. He gave up all the privilege that he had before in the created order. He gave up power and might. He became like us to love us, to bring light into a dark world. In having the same nature of God, Jesus existed with the armor of the divine, yet Jesus shed that armor. He took off that protection and he opened himself to the hurts of humanity, and Jesus was hurt. Jesus probably had the same tumbles and falls that we all experience when we learn to walk. Jesus probably bit his tongue while eating or stubbed a toe. Jesus felt sadness and hurt. He wept when his friend Lazarus died. Jesus had to feel hurt at the betrayal of Judas as well. He felt anger at the temple when the systems were being used against the poor. By embracing his humanness, Jesus felt and experienced those hurts, those pains, and those emotions that we have all experienced. Jesus kind of became, in taking on flesh and bone, God with us. Sometimes we think about living outside of our humanity. Strength and toughness are praised. Compassion and empathy are considered weaknesses. Self-reliance is considered a marker of health. We seek to be hard and unaffected so we don't get hurt, so we don't feel pain. But Jesus, by becoming flesh, by becoming God with us, showed that vulnerability and humility are gifts of our humanity. Jesus modeled dependence on others. A baby doesn't survive without care and nurture. Those characteristics of human that we try to grow out of are the very things that Jesus embraced to be with us. And perhaps following Jesus is the way to embrace better what our flesh and bone bodies should experience as vulnerability and openness and humility and better embracing each other. If I can be vulnerable, I can make space for you to be vulnerable too. In all the beauty and vulnerability for it, so that we can be reconciled to God and each other in holy community, in taking on flesh and bone, Jesus is God with us, understanding what it means and feels like to be human. And in taking on making his dwelling with us,